with a pair of pants and a matching light brown shirt. Mildred tried to sneak away his beloved old fedora, but he caught her at it.
Wasn't there a pre-dark song about knocking a man down and stepping on his face?
But whatever you do, don't steal his blue suede fedora.
Mildred had gone for a completely new look, toe-to-toe. A black beret covered her plaited dreadlocks. She'd chosen a crisp white cotton shirt, a denim jacket with a quilted lining, and reinforced military jeans tucked into calf-length boots in black-proofed leather.
Woo! I'm greased and ready to go medieval on your ass.
She caught Doc's eye.
What can I say? It brings out the thespian in me.
Dean tugged at Ryan's sleeve.
Isn't that the name for a woman who's sort of, you know, with another woman?
Something like that. Hey, let's look at what you picked out for yourself.
Dean hunched his shoulders shyly, uneasy at being the sudden center of attention from five grown-ups. He turned around slowly.
That's good. Showing a lot of sense there, Dean.
I like the jacket.
I'm almost tempted to obtain one of those fetching caps for myself.
Yeah, makes you look a whole lot better. And older.
Dad?
Ryan looked at him, feeling an unaccustomed swell of emotion. Dean was so eager to secure his father's approval that it was painful.
Let's see. Lined cap, good dark blue color. Sensible peak to it. Keep the sun and the rain out of your eyes.
How about the rest of the stuff? I can always go change it if you don't...
No, looks fine. Dark blue shirt, matching pants. I'd cut some of the metal loops and stuff out of the black denim jacket. I could snag on things. Belt's good, and the knife looks about right there on the hip. Boots comfortable?
Sure. Smallest size they got. Didn't get them too tight, because my feet are still growing.
Right. Ah, you look a new man, Dean. I'm proud of you.
Honest?
Honest.
Christy patted the boy on the arm.
Now, let's look at just what Dad's picked out for himself.
Ryan had chosen some new underclothes, adding a new shirt of blue denim. He also changed his pants, picking some heavy-duty dark blue cloth. His combat boots were wearing a little, but they fitted his feet like sprayed plastic, and he decided to keep them, rather than face the hassle of having to break in a fresh pair. He kept his trusty long coat. The white silk scarf with the weighted ends remained around his neck.
You look almost the same.
It's the way I like it, son.
Ryan looked at Christy.
Don't see much alteration with you, either.
I've got clean clothes on from top to bottom, and it feels real good. I'm going to try and get a hot bath later to go with the gear.
Christy looked crisp and fresh, her dazzlingly red hair curling over her shoulders. She had gotten a white shirt and a pair of the dark blue pants with a matching jacket. She'd retained her trusty western boots with the embroidered silver falcons. JB leaned against the wall.
We look like a load of sec men.
Dean caught his father's eye, and Ryan nodded, unable to hold back the smile.
Now we go look at the blasters!
That boy is incorrigible.
Indubitably, my dear Dr. Wyeth.
All right, son.
J.B. Dix was in the nearest thing he knew to heaven on Earth. The state of the weapons section of the redoubt stores seemed initially to confirm the feeling that the evacuation of the whole complex had, for some unfathomable reason, been abandoned halfway through. Otherwise, it was unthinkable that the armament section wouldn't have been stripped clean. As soon as they entered the area, with its printed warnings about set clearance ratings, JB stopped and closed his eyes, taking in several deep breaths.
Oil, grease, and perfectly machined metal.
The Holy Trinity for you, huh, John?
But JB didn't respond to Mildred. He was busy looking along the ordered rows and shelves.
Enough here to equip an army and rule all of Deathlands.
That eventually proved to be something of an exaggeration. As they examined the section, it became clear that an attempt had been made to evacuate some of the weapons. The areas of the storage complex where grenades, machine guns, mortars, and heavy armament had been stored were stripped bare. Also, a lot of the crates held only spare mags, sights, and replacement parts. Even so, there was still a fair array of infantry blasters and ammo. Dean turned to his father, who shrugged and pointed to JB.
He's the man for blasters. If there's anyone in Deathlands who knows more about weapons than the armorer here, then I haven't met him yet.
I want a Magnum! Big 357! Blow a hole in a wall!
JB shook his head.
First thing you learn, Dean, is to pick your weapons to fit yourself. You fire a magnum, and there's an even chance someone your age and size will snap his wrist. And the bullet's wasted, straight up in the ceiling.
Then I wanna...
Not a question of what you want. A question of what's the best weapon for you.
Why can't I have what
Quieter.
But I...
Quieter.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's better. Now, remember that we're all a team. Might be a time your life depends on me. Might be a time my life's on the line and you're the way out for me. You need the best blaster there is for what you need.
A 38?
JB smiled.
No, a good 22.
Dean looked like someone had just placed a dead slug on his tongue.
A 22? Give me a fucking break, you... Ow!
Halfway between a slap and a punch, it knocked the boy flying, flat on his back, sliding against the wall. He lay there, dazed, one hand touching his mouth, where a thread of blood was worming down over his chin.
Hey, what you...
Ryan knelt by his son, the crimson anger still glittering in his good eye, his mouth a razored line.
You listen, and listen good. I warned you and warned you, and you still don't take any notice of me.
You still didn't...
Oh, yes, I did. Fireblast, but I did, Dean. You spent most of your life running, dodging, and hiding. I understand that. You come with us, and you'll see a different life. A life where you don't take shit from anyone. A life of standing and fighting together. You got that?
Sure. But I...
No buts about it, Dean.
Ryan helped the boy to his feet.
What JB said was right. We each carry the lives of the others, right here in the palm of our hand. And that means you too.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Dean turned to the armorer.
Sorry, JB.
A 22. But a good one. Not a Saturday night special that falls apart on you. Most of the chilling gets done at a range of less than 15 feet. I found you a blaster that you can work with. Then you can put a man down with it, eyes open at the sky, 10 times from 10.
And it'll be light enough for you to heft without any problem.
Thought about a Ruger Mark II.
JB looked through a stock inventory list he'd found hanging on a nail.
But it's stainless steel and more of a target gun. Looks nice, like the Luger Parabellum, but this is better.
What is it?
Smith & Wesson Model 425. Lightweight alloy frame, rimfire, holding 10 rounds. Here.
The boy took the blued gun from the armorer's hands.
Light?
Sure. Look, it's got edging and fluting to cut down on reflections. Walnut grips, adjustable sights, chambers over the trigger. Nice design, based on the 422. Enclosed hammer.
What's this, the safety?
No, that's above the left grip, by the slide release catch. That's the mag release catch on the front grip strap.
Ryan caught Christie's eye. Both of them struck by the look of wonderment on the boy's face.
Can I try it out?
The armorer shook his head.
I'll give you a box of 100 rounds, and you and me will go to the range I saw at the end of the passage. So wait. While we're all looking around, get yourself a decent holster.
Sure, JB. And thanks.
Neither Doc nor Mildred could be persuaded to change their firearms. The old man stuck with his bizarre Lamar, the 19th-century revolver with its scattergun barrel. JB tried to persuade him to take a modern automatic.
I'm really most awfully grateful, my dear chap, but I shall carry on with this until I finally run out of ammunition for it.
As long as I can get Smith & Wesson 38s, I'll keep with my ZKR 551. If there's a better target pistol around, I haven't found it yet.
How about you, Christy? That old Heckler & Koch is a bit past its best now, isn't it?
I'm used to it. You got a better idea?
Sure.
JB unpacked a shrink-wrapped weapon.
Here. Stainless and smooth. No snags on it. Smith & Wesson double action. 640 model. Only 5 shot, but it's real compact. Close combat. 2-inch barrel. Weighs around 20 ounces. Why not bring it to the range and try her out?
Christy hefted the little blaster.
Ryan, that Heckler & Koch G12 caseless is a real fine weapon. But you know the problems we've been having in getting ammo for it. There's none listed for it in this redoubt.
Oh, come on. I've learned to love this baby.
Once the baby runs dry, she's a piece of scrap metal, Ryan.
Best I had for what we want.
JB rubbed a thumb, thoughtfully, along the angle of his jaw.
Reckon we should think this through. We got blasters, all of us. What we need now is a really fine long gun. You're the best shot, Ryan.
Sniper's rifle?
The armorer nodded.
They got a case of Steyr SSG-70s. Bolt action, 10-round with a neat little night scope and a laser image enhancer. All we need, really.
What's it fire? A 7.62 millimeter round?
Right. Pick them up anywhere.
Far be it from me to interrupt this highfalutin and exceedingly expert conversation, but Mildred and I are becoming a little bored. We shall return and brew up some more of that execrable coffee sub.
Ryan barely heard the old man. All his